thank the Lord this morning for salvation. The songwriter said, let me more of their beauty see. Let me more of their beauty see and behold. I thought, thank the Lord for that thought. Because there is beauty, great beauty, in the Word of God, in the words of God, in the paragraphs, the sentences, the exclamations, the warnings, the challenges, the hope, and all the Word of God. There is things for you and me to see. And I believe it was Elisha. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Lord, open my eyes this morning that I may see. Thank the Lord for the goodness of God. I want us to consider a little bit today, and actually very little, because it's a big topic in the Bible. But it's the problem of sin. The problem of sin. When I look at my life and yours and the community of man, I think about us sometimes like this, that we're surrounded by a plague. And that plague is extremely contagious. There was a time of superstition. There was a time of darkness scientifically. There was a period in the history of mankind when diseases and the causes of them were not understood. People would maybe work on a wound, drop their scalpel or knife on the ground, and just pick it up and start using it again. They didn't know about germs. I believe it was a major breakthrough during the Dark Ages when they found out that bubonic plague was transmitted by the fleas on rodents. The good thing about finding that out was it gave them something they could do to stop the plague. Well, I think today we have something that's plaguing us, and it's called sin. And I'm glad that in His goodness and love and His honesty, God has provided us a knowledge of it, the cause of it, and the remedy for it. And my burden today is that you and me would see the exceeding sinfulness of sin. How exceedingly sinful, damaging, decaying, and causing death, and heartaches, and disharmony, and upheavals that sin really is. And recognize God has judged it as wrong, and the sinner, unconverted into a Christian, cannot go into heaven. And sin is a plague that brings literal death, and it brings spiritual death. It decays, it subverts things that you and me hold dear. Things, institutions, relationships that we covet to be all they can be for the good, sin subverts that, tears it down, and would destroy it if left unchecked. We're not in the dark ages spiritually. We are in the evening light. And there is camped about us a plague, saints, and it's called sin. Now, I don't believe saints sin, but I believe there is a great move and an encampment about you and me to fail to see how awful and bad sin really is. And that you and me, that we would make an agreement with sin. That we would find it in our great loving Christian heart, I say that just a little sarcastically, to have a very loving tolerance for sin. I say that again, kind of out of context. God wants you and me to love sinners, for we all were one. But God wants us to despise, as I would or you would, the bubonic plague. If I knew, if I went into town, the whole town is corrupted with the plague, I wouldn't go, folks. We need to recognize there are things God expects us to stay away from, and He has made a way for knowledge and understanding of it, and He has also, praise the Lord, has the antidote and the remedy, the blood of Jesus Christ, that cleanseth from all sin. All. So this morning, my topic is that you and me might think about it a little bit. Sin. We're surrounded by this plague. When you think about the ills of mankind, you think about the disheavals in people's lives. I believe we can trace every unnatural, every trauma, every divorce, every plague back to sin. I know this, when God created the world and the people of the two, He created the atmosphere to breathe, the food to eat, the water to drink. And He looked on it and He said it was good, very good. There was no sin there, no corruption there. There was, regrettably, a time when men thought, I know what's best, and they entered into a relationship of sin. But this morning, I'm thinking about the scripture that tells me in John 15 and 11, Jesus told the people, and He tells us today, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might be full. Sin is a destroyer of joy. Sin takes the laughter out of children. It takes the smile off the bride and the groom. Sin is a destroyer of joy. In Jeremiah, we read it, or I read right to it this morning in Sunday school. I know my thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and thoughts to bring you to an expected end. Make no mistake this morning. God wants a happy people. God wants the redeemed of the Lord to rejoice in their freedom from the plague of sin. He doesn't want us going back. God's intentions in the very beginning was to have happiness on this earth, to have relationships that were pure and clean and undefiled. So we, from the very words of Jesus, we know this morning that God wants you and me to be joyful. And that's more, folks, than just being an ecstatic glory and walking around and skipping around from cloud to cloud. That's a seasoned experience with the Lord, whereby His presence is so rich that it surpasses all that we could ever hope for or envision in life, surpasses all the problems and the difficulties, and gives us a victory over the plague that so readily and greedily surrounds us. And sin is greedy. I want to read what Noah Webster wrote about sin. This is a man who wrote, what shall I say, after the Revolution or right during that time, maybe one of the first great American dictionaries. You read some of the older dictionaries, and men were not afraid to mention God. And they didn't classify God as a divine or a heavenly being or some, they use the term God. And it was a, today we have to be so eloquently, conscious of other people and their environments and their surroundings, and we have to say things politically correct. Folks, God is correct. Jehovah is a good word. And we can say it. And we can say that He is a judge and a creator and the life giver to the world. And we can say sin is opposition to God. Anyway, Noah Webster. A voluntary departure of a moral agent. That's me or you as a person who has the will of choice. Of a moral agent from a known rule of rectitude or uprightness or duty prescribed by God. Any violation, any voluntary transgression of the divine law or violation of a divine command. A wicked act, iniquity. Sin is either a positive act in which a known divine law is violated, or it is the voluntary neglect to obey a positive divine command or a rule of duty clearly implied in such command. We as a people, not just me and you specifically, have taken a rather cavalier, so what, no big deal approach to the Word of God. If there's any holy thing that has ever been polluted and defiled, it is the Word of God concerning His judgments on sin. And man today, back through the ages really, have taken it as everybody does it, you can't help it, no big thing. God understands me. Sin is a violation of God. Sin is an affront to God. Sin is a slap in God's face, a spit in His eye. Pardon my verbiage. Sin is a reproach, a shame, and a disgrace. And it is a direct disobedience to the divine. Sin comprehends not action only, but neglect of known duty. All evil thought purposes, words, and desires, whatever is contrary to God's command or law. Open our eyes, O God, that we may see Your command, Your desire, Your will for us, and to recognize that going against that, voluntarily saying no, voluntarily not obeying, voluntarily not taking forth a command and a duty is sin. Sin neither enjoys the pleasure of, nor the peace of piety, or that which comes from reverence, that which comes from respect of the divine. Today, sin does this. It causes us to forfeit the blessings of the Lord that would make us rich and add no sorrow to it. Sin is a forfeiture of that divine arm of God undergirding us through an everlasting eternity. Sin causes me and you, or that participant in it, to forfeit the divine hope of eternal life. So, we don't enjoy the pleasures of what God has created for mankind to enjoy, nor the peace that comes from piety, or from living a life of reverence and awe and respect to God. Sin is original, and sin is actual. Actual sin is the act of a moral agent in violating a known rule or duty. That's what we're all see. We understand that. This is a man who wrote many years ago. I doubt his words would be accepted altogether today. Sin's original sin is native depravity of heart to the divine will. There is in man, through Adam, that inbred native depravity of the heart. One songwriter said something like this, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." Something within man. Okay? That's sin also. My burden today is not on the native depravity. Maybe that'll come later. Which is the effect of Adam's apostasy. Now some more modern day, up to date, quote unquote. Sin is to be without a share in. I've never read and heard that definition before. Did you know God has a kingdom right here today? In the days of those kingdoms shall the God of heaven establish a kingdom. It lasts forever, never be destroyed, never be left to others. His increase shall never end. Sin says, I forfeit my part that I could have in the kingdom of God. Sin is saying in my life or yours, if it is there, saying, I'd rather indulge in the pleasures of sin for a season and forfeit that which God hath provided for me today and through eternity. So it means to be without a part of, or part in, or share in. Sin means that we miss the mark. Did you know God has a mark set for us? It's Jesus Christ. And the Bible talks about us coming in Ephesians to the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the mark. Sin says you missed. Well, folks, if we miss the mark, God help us to say, I'll not be satisfied missing the mark. And if my neighbor misses the mark, say, well, that's all right. God understands him. No, we need to pray for that neighbor, that friend, that child, and ourselves. Because to miss the mark here, which is the statue of the fullness of Christ, we're to be like he is in this world today. To miss that mark is to miss heaven. That's how critical this thing is this morning. My mind goes back to recently some revelations that God has given me. And it's nothing new. It was for me and to challenge me. Folks, we are in a warfare, and God wants us to be on the offensive to this thing called sin. God wants us to turn the cheek to slander. God wants us to turn the cheek when someone hits us. But God does not expect nor want us to turn our cheek to sin. It's wrong. And we'll miss the mark of Christ, and we'll miss heaven because of it. It means to err. It means to be mistaken. One of the hardest things I find for man to do is to simply say, I made a mistake. Have you ever noticed your difficulty in just saying, I erred, it's my fault, I made a mistake? That is not easy to say. Some it comes easier, some just cannot say it at all. Did you know for someone to get out of the prison, they got to say, I made a mistake. Sin is making that mistake and making that error. It is to miss or wander from the path of righteousness and honor to go, to do and go wrong. Sin is to... My mother used to tell me, Stanley, I suppose I like to argue with her. She said, Stanley, I believe that you'd come to a signpost, read it, take it down, and go the wrong way. I must have been an argumentative child. Sin is to say, no, I don't believe that. I'm not going to accept that. I don't believe that's necessary. Prove it to me. You can't prove it to me. Here's your signpost. I'm going to move it over here, and I'm going to go this way. This is our signpost, folks. This is our way to heaven. Don't be like me as a child and say, well, That's okay if you, I don't believe it. Close the book, set it aside, and go somewhere else or do something else. That's sin, by definition. It's to wander from God's law and violate God's law. Sin. I know we've all been there. And I know we've all seen it. And I know we've all been touched by it. But aren't you tired of it? Aren't you tired of what it's doing to us? And I don't mean, I say that as broadly as you can comprehend the word us. Aren't you tired of what sin's doing? Aren't you tired of broken homes? Read in the paper, just, well, it was this morning, I was checking the Daily Oklahoma. 55-year-old school teacher over in the Tulsa area. He's a gay man, but that you can't say that anymore as far as credentials. Being gay does not void your credentials. Okay? Foster parent, highly respected teacher in the public schools over there. Highly respected. For 10, maybe 15 years, he's kept foster children. And the story goes on. He had a friend. And this friend had killed a young baby when he was a teenager and spent his teenage years up to age 18 in a reformatory type situation. Got 18, they had to let him out. He was gay also. And this friend that he took into his home, which was in his 40s, 41 I believe, this man was just a little more perverted than his school teacher. And here is all these young boys that this foster parent is taking care of. I won't go any further. This teacher said today, last day or two, he pled guilty to all the charges against him. Aren't you tired of it? Aren't we tired of seeing the world throw it in our face? I know I can't stop it, but I can stop it in my heart. I can stop it with my words. We cannot condone it. We can cry aloud and spare not. We can see sin as exceedingly sinful. That, you might say, is a radical case. But folks, the books are full of radical cases. This thing called sin is terrible. Where did the foster children come from? Sin. Broken homes. They're there as a consequence to sin, is what I'm saying. Mom and Dad couldn't get along. Dad beat Mom. Mom tried to kill Dad. They tried to drown the children, abuse the children. The children were in foster homes because of sin. Sin, it's all around us. And Satan has the audacity to come to you and me and say, don't look on it so harshly. Don't look on it so bad. I want to read you some things about sin. Isaiah 59 and 1. Isaiah 59 and 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. God the same, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever, tomorrow, and all time. God has not changed. In fact, he said of himself, he cannot change. God who doesn't vacillate between good and evil, cannot change. He's still mighty to save and to help and to love and merciful and slow to wrath. God still has all the power he ever had. He'll never diminish in that. God's hand's not shorter. But the distance has grown further. The distance is increasing in men's hearts from God. There's a hardness prevailing, folks. I don't want to say we don't. But let's recognize it. There's a hardness and towards God and the Word and the signpost, if you will. There is a prevailing influence across the world today that sin is not so bad. Don't you come up with me with your old religious rhetoric that you're trying to impugn or put on me, rather. things that are outdated and obsolete. That's what we face, folks. We've got to be willing, as the saints of God, to say, no, that is a violation of the divine law of God. It's sin, and I can't go to heaven with sin in my life. I can't please God with sin in my life. God can reach down, but if I keep drawing back, have you ever tried to pick up a child? Have you ever tried to extend yourself to someone, and they're like a crawfish going backwards, and you're trying to reach out? There's a limit. There's a limit. But your iniquity, your sin, have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Point I want to make here is sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from all goodness and all mercy and all hope of restitution. Sin is a separator from good, okay? I think every one of us has enough knowledge of God. This morning, saint or sinner, wherever you may be, wherever I may be, you get us down in the tight, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to say, God, help me. I will stipulate that for every one of us here today. You get down to where the rubber meets the road, and you've come up to a mountain that you don't want to cross and you can't cross over. I'd say every one of us today in this building would have something like this, Lord, help me. That's good. Don't stop saying that. I say that to say we all recognize the need of God. Sin separates us from that. You know, that ought to be enough for us to say, ooh, I don't want to sin. And if I sin, oh, I want to cry out to God in His mercy. Sin is universal. Romans, I'm going to just quote parts of these. I won't go through them all, but you can write them down. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. All have erred. All have missed the mark. So I'm saved today. I can't go piously to my neighbor or to the guy I may know somewhere that's just a sinner and lord that over him. We're saved by grace. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. We have nothing that we that are saved have nothing to brag and boast and lord over the next man or the sinner or the transient on the street. We all have sinned. So we can't use the excuse that, well, that man's saved, but he never, no, I want to tell you something. Some of us fellows that are saved have got bad history, bad track records behind us. God is able to save whosoever will. But all have sinned. It's a universal plague. It's not just the United States. It's universal. Over in Colossians, the 6th chapter, these are just a few thoughts on sin for a moment. Colossians 3:6. For which thing? It talks about fornication, uncleanness, etc., idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. I don't know what you think about the Lord altogether, of His power, His might, but I do not want God angry with me. I'll say it that way. I do not want God against me. I don't want His face turned against me. I don't want His ears stopped up to me. Because of the wax of sin in my life. God's wrath, His anger, His power is marked against sin. I want you to think about that and then think of it this way also. First of all, you think of God's wrath against sin. Woe is you, woe is me, woe are we if we tolerate and continue on. The wrath of God is being poured out today. The consequences are evident. But I want to say something else. Take it a little differently. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ came to bear the wrath of God. Will you today allow Jesus to bear that for you? That's what we have to do. God's wrath is against sinners, hence against sin. Hence it will be against sinners at the judgment. Jesus Christ came to bear that wrath today. Don't turn that down. That wrath is in part seen when we see what they did to Jesus. When we see the humiliation, the shame, the pain, the suffering that he went through, the wrath of God being poured out on man through Jesus Christ. He was the atonement, the propitiation. Don't let that go unheeded today, saints. Don't let that go unheeded, sinner friend. If you're in sin today, accept that price as paying the wrath of God. Satisfying the wrath of God. Over in Hebrews, I want to read a scripture to us. How many people like to be lied to? But you know what's worse than being lied to? Is believing it, the lie, playing the fool, or acting it out, and then suffering the consequence and the ridicule. Have you ever been made a fool of? What does it mean to you? To me, it means that someone deceives me, I bit it hook, line, and sinker, and I swam off with it, and then they snatched it and they had it. And everybody around me says, hee hee, laughter. It goes deeper than that. Sin is deceitful, folks. It'll deceive you. Listen to what he said here. Hebrews 3:13. So may I stay again stipulating for us, none of us like to be deceived, and none of us like to be ridiculed. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily. Saints, let's talk about this thing called sin. Let's don't forget to remind each other how bad it is. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we find in the Bible, Paul said it this way in Romans 7:11, for sin deceived me. Sin has been deceiving people ever since the beginning. Here's what one writer said it this way when it said sin deceived me in Romans. Drew me aside to disobedience, promising me gratification, honor, independence, etc., as it promised to Eve. That's a quote. We live in this old world. Read Michael's little newsletter. Folks, we better be careful of an independence. See, that's one of the plagues or one of the symptoms of the plague you and I are under in America. Independence. Those poor people in Africa, they know they need help. And maybe they're a little embarrassed, but they're not ashamed to say, help me. And they're not so to say that we can just, you don't worry about my house, I can build it myself. No, they need help. We live in a country that has promoted independence to the point we're becoming independent of God. And that's what sin will do. Promise us and deceive us into thinking, no matter anymore, the government will take care of me. Everybody's doing it. It's not such a bad thing. God is love. God is tolerant. Mocked by sin anymore, they mocked the Savior. And he bore your sin and your shame on Calvary's cross. So no longer do we have to be led astray and deceived and suffer the abuse of being mocked through an ageless hell in eternity. Jesus Christ bore the mocking of sin. Praise the Lord for that. Sin's unprofitable. We all understand profit in America, don't we? Want more of it. Well, what is a man advantaged? Luke 9 and 25. If he gain the whole world and lose himself and be cast away. I could ask you today, what did you come in this world with? And you might answer me that little bit of air I held clutching in my hands and fists when I came out. At the most, you weren't even breathing. You ever thought of that? You didn't have anything when you might have had a little bit of molecule of air up in your fist if you was like this. I think some were born this way though. We didn't have anything. And what is your soul going to have when it returns? If it does not have the love and the blood of Jesus Christ, it'll go just the way it came, with nothing. All this accumulation, guess where it's going to stay? To your nieces and nephews and cousins. Grandchildren and great-grandchildren are going to say, great, granddad left me this. I'm going to go out and buy a new car. What is it to profit us, folks? Sin is unprofitable. If we have gained our independence and we can boast, folks, death is going to humble us. Death is going to bring us down to where we recognize, I can't defeat this one. It's amazing to me how we can't learn the lessons of humility. Athlete in his prime, making millions of dollars, has an accident, breaks a leg, gets a virus. Can I tell you a story about a man when I was in high school? Cannot think of his last name. It's been a long time. Ernie Davis. Ernie Davis was from Syracuse University. In about 1963, perhaps, he won the Heisman Trophy. That's the big thing in football. And he earned it. He was fast. He could run. He could run over people. He could block. He could do these things. He was an athlete. I don't know anything about him, and I'm not talking about him. I'm just using that as an example of the frailty of mankind. Before Ernie Davis, he signed a contract for the pros. Before he ever put on his college, his pro uniform, the doctor said something like this, Ernie, I'm sorry, but you have leukemia. And Ernie died. And Ernie died. I felt sorry. I don't know anything about him. I'm not pushing him down at all. I'm using that, Lord, help us today to understand the frailty of our own independence. Okay? It's unprofitable. How much money you make? You're conscious of that, aren't you? You're conscious today that you make X number of dollars a week, month, an hour, that your business brings in a total after all expenses this much. Most of us know reasonably what that is. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's good. It's good. Be able to count, to weigh things. Romans 6 and 23. If you're a sinner today, and those dear people out there that we love, sons and daughters, grandchildren, they're working for sinners. And here's what they're working for. And the wages, the compensation that they will, you will, I will, if sin's in my life, receive. And the wages of sin is death. I don't know anything more graphic to explain sin and its wages than death. Go to a country or look on historical pictures death that has not been dressed up. You and me today, and I'm glad, we're immune from the ugliness and the decay of death. I'm glad of that. I want my loved ones to look presentable to me. I'm not preaching against that. But you look at death, It's very ugly. Totally, totally against life. God wants us to understand right now the wages of sin is that ugly thing called death. Revelations 20, it talks about that old devil that deceived them. 20 and 10. Would be cast into a lake of fire, the devil and his angels. And it goes on to say, and whosoever was not found written in the book will be cast into that lake of fire where the devil and his angels are. That's not very good wages. Not good wages at all. The Jews boasted that they were servants of no man. I think it behooves us to read this one. John 8 and 32. Kind of ties in with the thought of independence. The Jews were a proud people. And 8 and 32, Christ speaking to them. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, can you see right now the Jews hearing that, the hair on the back of the neck standing up, and they said, we be Abraham's seed. And hear the pride and the rebellion in this. And we're never in bondage to any man. We just studied today in Sunday school about 70 years, they were definitely in bondage. And on and on. Can you hear these people reacting to the Lord giving them freedom, saying, we're Abraham's seed. Don't we hear people, did I not say such things when I was a sinner? I do my own thing. I'm my own boss. Nobody tells me what to do. Arrogance in that. And we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be free? Man, we are free. What about that Roman over there? Oh! Hell, they have to. Sin is so deceitful, it causes you and me not to even to see the taskmaster. They were denying the Romans. They were denying that they had to go to Pilate for this and that and the other. They were just denying the times they were in. We're free. We're not in bondage. Here's what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Lord, help us today. He said in 8 and 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. May God help us. Sin. If we read the Word of God, it tells us how bad sin is. And it tells us the consequences of it. And what it does to me, the part that just really sticks in my craw, is that it's laughing at me. It's laughing at you. You're the servant of sin if you're a sinner today. And the lust of your father you will do. Oh, I'd never do that. We condemn the gay person. We look down on the state for letting them be foster parents. Folks, that's just sin. Folks, sin is no respect of person. And if I have sin in my life, I cannot boast against the gay man or the child abuser. I cannot boast against him. Sin. It's of the father, the devil. And I don't, this man that said in the paper today about him, he was not a righteous man to begin with, obviously, but said the influence of this, excuse me for saying this, lover coming to live with him, brought the man even down in further into degradation and opened up to him things heretofore unexplored. Do we see what sin does? Don't coddle it. Don't excuse it, folks. Don't make provisions for it. Don't say, well, everybody does it. We're going to stop here, and I'm not through. God help us. Sin. He said that, the proverb writer said that sin is a reproach to any people. Sin makes people wretched, is what one other man wrote about that. Sin makes people wretched. He made Eve and Adam wretched. He made Cain wretched. On down through time. Sin is a shame. It is a reproach. It is a stigma against holiness and righteousness and uprightness. Let's not ever think that sin is unavoidable. Sin is something that has to be tolerated. Sin is not as bad. May the Lord bless these thoughts. The Lord allows us to continue this at another point in time. We're going to talk about deliverance. Deliverance. A real word in a real word of God sent down from man that all the consequences of sin could be healed, and whom the Son hath made free can be free indeed. Pray for me.